That's a proposition that you and I cannot afford to turn down. Either God means what he says or he doesn't. Let's find out. The proposition is universal. Your color may be red, yellow, brown, black, or white. You may be junior or senior, woman or man. You may be employer or employee. You may be scholar or lack education. This deal is for whosoever will. Them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. It's up to you to test this in your own life. Recently, Major Holt, 18 years with the United States Army and attached to 5th Special Forces, entertained me in Dallas. He had returned the day before from Vietnam. It had been his third term of field duty there. He sought me out to tell me what these broadcast ministries had meant to him there. This time, he had been assigned by division to command an important observation and fire post on the Laotian border to help keep 2 divisions of the North Vietnamese regulars under surveillance. His outfit could only be supplied by helicopter. One day, his perimeter noticed a long line of civilians painfully and slowly struggling toward his position. They were Montagnard people, pushed out of their homes by the North Vietnamese. They had nothing. They had been existing on wild rice. They needed medical supplies, food, clothing, and shelter. There were more than 700 of them. The major called division headquarters. He was told they had nothing for the moment, nothing. The division's air power had been lent to support a neighbor division busy making a strike against the enemy. Suddenly, a big Viking-like sergeant who had just been saved in the major's Bible study group that he conducts for his men, and in which he uses the Revival Time Ministries for evangelistic purposes, said, "Major, why don't we pray?" And the major replied, "I can think of nothing better, Sergeant. You're right on target." Moments later, his radio man was calling to him. It was division again. Division said, "Major, the attack has just overrun an enemy supply depot, and we're going to airlift 40 tons of enemy supplies, food, medical aid, clothing, and they'll be moved to your position. You are the most available." So the contract worked, as it always will. Them that honor me, I will honor. Try it. You'll like it. The Bible tells us now what it means to honor the Lord. First, honor the Lord with your trust, and he will honor you with his salvation. Jesus stated an important fact. The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. It takes more than faith and practice of a Christian social ethical stance, the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man, to save you, mister. You can't ignore Jesus Christ and make a deal for yourself with God. You honor God by honoring Jesus. It isn't reverence that saves you. It's repentance that gets the job done. You cannot honor Jesus, lady, unless you believe what he says. Your faith must be anchored to Calvary. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The question narrows down to this: will I trust him? In that moment of personal confession, God bestows upon you pardon, peace, and protection. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I ask you, what does the name of Jesus mean to you? Does it mean the only begotten Son of God, or does it mean some resident of Galilee long ago? What do you believe? God is prepared to honor your faith. Second, honor the Lord with your confession before men, and he will honor you by confessing you before the Father. I'll read it to you from your Bible. "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." That is as plain and simple as it ever will be. There is reciprocity. You do something down here and he will do something up there. You ask, how will I know it is done? Well, Paul tells us, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Fanny Crosby called it blessed assurance. John calls it light. It's as though a room had been dark and suddenly it is illuminated. Paul calls it the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Oh, yes, you can know that the transaction has been completed. It is an honor to be acknowledged before the most important society of the universe. How must I confess the Lord down here? Well, there are three special ways. A, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Thomas publicly stated, my Lord and my God. Peter publicly stated, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The blind man publicly stated, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. You must be willing to testify. It's like going to court. You are willing to go on record, to take the witness stand. You're willing to be cross-examined. Be, and be baptized. This is public identification. It's an important step. Jesus requires it. We are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. It's an open picture of my belief. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. See, for me to live is Christ. Words and water need daily living to back them up. I must let the public know I'm operating under new management. Third, honor the Lord by your complete surrender to him, and he will honor you by making you a fruitful Christian. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Jesus revealed this gospel in his own life. He fell into the ground at Calvary. He gave his life. He made an investment. The results multiply every day. He asks us to die to self. He asks us to lose ourselves in his cause. He says it means success. He says the key is service. It's a disillusioning experience to abide alone, never to extend oneself in others. And so many of you abide alone in the pew where you sit. You've never won a soul to Christ. So many of you abide alone in the Sunday school class you teach. The class never grows. So many of you abide alone in your family. You should ask yourself why. Well, you haven't died. You're more interested in yourself than others. You love your life and you're losing it. God only honors servants, and it won't work any other way. Fourth, honor the Lord with your substance, and he will honor you with his bountiful provision. The Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. It means give God his due. Now, what is his due? Old Testament people were required by law to give God a tithe, but not only the tithe. Remember this, Old Testament people were required to give God offerings in addition. Should I do less under the blessing of Calvary? If you think so, lady, you cheapen that green hill and make it less than Mount Sinai. The Lord is no man's debtor. I thank God. My parents taught me this truth from infancy. And it's been one of the greatest guidelines of my life, to be liberal. No human being can outgive God. Put him to the test, mister. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Try living under God's addition, and you'll never go back to the old way. Them that honor me, I will honor. It's worked for this nation. And that's why we put God on our money. Fifth, honor the Lord with your love, and he will honor you with his special enabling. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That is the best protection policy in town. Love him. If you love him, you care far more about his sheep and lambs than you care about anything in the world system. That means you'll be out to the service. That's where the Lord's people gather. Any pastor can tell how much you love Jesus by checking your attendance at the Wednesday night service. If you love him, you'll keep his commandments. That will reflect immediately in your dress, your language, your conduct. It's all written out for us in the New Testament. There need be no uncertainty. If you love him, you'll read the Bible to see for yourself how God wants you to act. Lots of prayer never answered because you have not set your love upon him. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. Check that out, mister. This message from the Word could be saying something to you. So God lets us know in his Word how we can honor him. Now, if you will kneel with us and say, Lord, I will implement this service in my life with the help of the Holy Spirit, and I will give thee an opportunity to demonstrate thy promise in and through me. You can prove for yourself the truth of this great text. And in my opinion, well, it's too good a deal to pass up. But you must decide. Them that honor me, I will honor. Let's make it easy and inspiring for those among us who want to be the first at the altar. There are those especially who do not want to lug their sins one step further than this broadcast altar. Thank God they don't have to. So make room for these burdened lives in these next 10 seconds.
There's room at the cross for you.
God's gifts await you. Forgiveness, cleansing, the baptism of his Spirit, guidance, healing, miracle in finance and human relation, mission, all of these blessings are yours through Calvary. So we welcome you as we find strength through kneeling. Talk to the Lord as I minister to you. Jesus, this is thy altar. We have not come to meet the preacher. We do not bow before the church. We do not call upon a creed or a doctrine. We come to thee. We need repair and redemption. Our lives have suffered from wrongdoing and bad counsel. And now we thank thee for salvation. It's a new beginning. Bless thy gospel to our daily lives. Make us objects of thy workmanship. Expand the kingdom of God upon earth through our testimonies. And receive our thanks for everything you've done for us. Amen. Well, things happen here, folk. We're praying for you and with you. I'm going to move along this altar as your evangelist. My only desire is to be used of God among you. It's clear to me in this service that I should minister directly to an evangelist who is discouraged. Financially, you find it almost impossible to have your family with you on the road. And yet wife and children need you far more often than you're getting home from the field. And you're afraid and almost at wit's end to know how to solve this problem. And I'm reaching out in faith towards you, my fellow evangelist. And I have this assurance in the Spirit of God that an extraordinary solution is on the way towards you. It will draw you and your family very close to Jesus as you realize his special loving kindness towards you. He has counted all of those lonely hours, yours and those of your family. I know this. God does business at this altar. Now, thanks for staying the entire service with us. Yes, you've been to the meeting. There's nothing to join, and we aren't building or selling anything. This is fellowship. Anyone can participate. You know who we are? We're the people who know this to be true. That it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.